You're listening to Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with an emphasis on homeopathy.
Hi, I'm Jody the mom.
And I'm Dr. Barr the doc, and this is Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with a special emphasis on homeopathy. Today, we're continuing our homeopathy basics series, where we're going to talk in more detail about responses to remedies. On a couple of the episodes we've done recently, we talked about things related to how people tend to respond and the healing journey and what that looks like. So we're going to go into the specific responses that somebody can have to homeopathic remedies today. Jody, is there any context that you'd like to give to parents before we dive into all the nerdy details?
Can I say the same thing I always say? Like, this is why, this right here is why it's so important to work with a PANDAS experience provider. I struggled so much with this part of it, but you kept it all straight. Like, you had it all figured out, so I was okay. And that would have, like, had I not had somebody that not only like was really good at responses, but also the PANDAS part of it, I don't know that we would have made it through. So I feel like I always go back to saying, make sure you're working with a good experience provider.
Yeah. And I think that that really helped me to realize right now with you saying this, that the reality is I'm going to do my best to boil it down to relatively clear cut descriptions of what things look like. And the reality is that working with a PANDAS case is a lot of nuance between those clear cut, like, here's what this looks like in an ideal situation. Here's what this looks like in this other situation. And it's a lot of nuance and a lot of in between and figuring out what's going on to really understand. Yeah. So let's just go ahead and dive in. So we're talking about the way that people respond to homeopathic remedies. And so there's the ways that people would respond to the correct remedy or the best fit, and ways that people respond to not the best fit. So when it's the best fit for a homeopathic remedy, what we hope to see is that they just start to feel better. This could be a few days to a few weeks that they could take to feel better. For some really, really sensitive folks, it could be within a few minutes. So if you're given a dose of a homeopathic remedy to a child and or to your given taking it yourself, and within like 5 to 10 minutes, you feel better, it's very likely that it's actually related to the remedy and not just a coincidence, because it can happen that quickly. For most people, though, it's going to take a few days to a few weeks. And sometimes that the few weeks range, that you don't necessarily see it until you look back and see where things were. And so because it can be small things that add up over time. And what we're talking about looking better is not that everything is gone. It's that we're having a reduced frequency, intensity, and duration of the symptoms, and not even necessarily all of the symptoms, but enough of the symptoms that we're seeing marked improvement. Okay. And so this, like, again, it's not a suppressive or palliative therapy. And so we're not going to see, like, we take this particular remedy and then the rage is just gone. For some people, they might see that happen, but it's probably not going to stay gone. As we talked about in the last episode about the healing journey, it's 2 to 3 steps forward and 1 step back. So it is unlikely that you're going to see something be gone and then just stay gone. It's probably going to fluctuate over time. So that's obviously what we hope to see as the best possible circumstance with a well-selected remedy, is that they just start to feel better in a few days to a few weeks. If it's the wrong remedy, they'll probably not see anything change in most cases. We'll just either see it, we'll see a continuation of the steady state that they're at if they're in a steady state. If they've been on the decline, we'll probably see a continued decline, but we'll see a continued decline at the same pace that we have seen prior to adding the remedy. No real change. There is a chance with the well-selected remedy that things could get a little bit worse before they get better. We've mentioned it several times in several of our different episodes. This is called a therapeutic aggravation. Most people just drop the therapeutic part and they just talk about aggravations to keep it short, but it is a therapeutic aggravation. As we talked about in an earlier episode where we were discussing how homeopathy works, an aggravation is caused by that primary action having a little bit more sensitivity to that primary action, even at the ultra dilute doses of homeopathic medicines. And so you have a little bit of a primary action that is similar to what you are experiencing in an unhealthy state. And so it adds up and it looks like you're having more of what you're currently experiencing. So an aggravation will look like a worsening of your existing symptoms. It won't look like new symptoms in general. So it'll look like just a short-term worsening. The length of time for aggravations really varies for people. For most people, it's just a few days, and it usually starts within the first 24 to 48-ish hours. A lot of our teams, well, our team here at Resilient Centropathic, everybody does a 72-hour window where between the first dose and any subsequent dosing, because if you're likely to aggravate, there's a good chance it's going to happen in that first window, in that first 72 hours. And so we can really get a good understanding of whether we need to adjust the dosing strategy because of that aggravation. For some people, aggravations are a little bit longer. They last a little bit longer. I think the longest I've heard was about a week and a half that they lasted. Jody, this is where I need you to jump in and back me up to say that aggravations are no worse than your worst flare. And so that's something that people are generally afraid of with starting with homeopathy, because or with any therapy that has the possibility of making things get a little bit worse before they get better, because especially in PANS PANDAS, it can just be so tough where you're at that adding something that might make things a little bit worse just feels overwhelming. But no worse than your worst flares. That's been your experience?
100%. It was always just an uptick in what was already going on. And they were all temporary, every single one of them. So,
yeah. And so one of the things that can come about with people who are really, really just fearful of aggravations is trying to disrupt the response or trying to disrupt the aggravation. And there are some people who are sensitive enough to certain essential oils or various different things that can interfere with the response to homeopathy, that sometimes people will try and give a dose of something to try and just block the aggravation. I have found in my experience that has not been helpful, because what typically happens then in most cases is that it doesn't just block the aggravation, it blocks the healing that can come after and can sometimes interfere with the body responding to any subsequent doses of that particular remedy and potency. And so it can really confuse things when you try to do something to disrupt an aggravation. The best thing to do in these cases is generally wait it out and allow for the healing rebound, that secondary healing response, to come into play. And then from there, decide how to manage and make some adjustments to the way that the dose is given to reduce the impact of aggravations or the likelihood of aggravations moving forward. So at Resilience Naturopathic, we do everything we can to reduce the dosing strategy and the dosing frequency to get the least amount of aggravation that we possibly can. And for many people, we're able to eliminate aggravations. And I'm glad that this is one of many reasons that I'm glad you're here doing these podcasts with me, Jody, because we've tried to do that with your kiddo. And how did it go?
It didn't go. I mean, it got easier. We made it easier. First, I want to say I hate that Avery was such an aggravator, because it's me doing most of the talking. So we talk about aggravations a lot. And I know there's so many families that are fearful of starting homeopathy because they're seeing us support families in the group through aggravations or hearing me talk about aggravations. But I just want to be really clear that I know you said it a second ago, not all kids aggravate. I think it would be accurate to say that we have less families that don't aggravate than that we do that do aggravate. It's not because you have a PANS kid, you're going to have an aggravator with homeopathy. So I don't want anybody to be fearful, about aggravations before you get started. But yes, we tried with Avery to get reduce those aggravations, and we just couldn't. She just was still an aggravator, and I didn't love aggravations. I didn't love aggravations for a long time because to me they felt harder. Like you said earlier, they were never harder than what I was already doing. But because I did not understand homeopathy at all as we were going through it, I didn't get the concept of, you know, we were going to go back and forth like this. It just took my brain a really, really long time to get that. It didn't happen until Avery got to the point where she was in her second half of healing, and the amount of time in between doses started to stretch out. when we got there, I finally was able to see aggravations for what they really were to Avery. It was, you know, giving her a dose, having that slight increase in symptoms, managing for a couple of days. But then in that second half, she would come out of it and she would be significantly better. And then we'd go a little bit longer and a little bit longer in between each dose. So now when I think about and talk about aggravations, I can see, you know, it's the hindsight. I have hindsight of all of this. So I see that every time she had an aggravation, whatever was going on in that aggravation, like her body was working. There was a lot going on. And every time she came out of it, she was a teeny tiny bit better in the beginning. I didn't recognize any of that because it was really like maybe she was sleeping better, but we were managing all the other things. So I didn't really recognize that sleep was a little bit better at the moment. It was just little minute things that I wasn't seeing. You had to remind me that they were happening. But when we got towards that second half and I was seeing like the bigger leaps in healing, I was like, I have hated aggravations the whole way through. And now I clearly recognize that all of those aggravations that Avery had added up to her healing. And so those aggravations got us there. And if I can survive those aggravations, it's like they're doable, they're manageable. We would literally, I did okay through them. I had to like love my husband through them. I would have to tell him, okay, I'm going to give Avery a dose and this is what's going to happen. Her anger is going to get worse. She's probably going to have some rage episodes. She is going to, whatever the symptoms were at the time, I would tell him these things are probably going to get worse. They're going to be worse for 2 or 3 days. And then we're going to level back off. And yeah, being able to tell him that was going to be the pattern, it was like we would armor up for those 3 days and we would know we would be in it. But we also knew that coming out of it, we'd be a tiny bit better than we were before we went in it.
Well, and the truth is it's not that we couldn't get away from the aggravations. I mean, that's the ultimate, like what came about with it. We tried and we got to the place that we gave her some doses. We had attenuated the dose enough that she didn't aggravate, but she didn't get the healing response either. It's like some kids just need a little bit of that primary action for their body to be able to mount the secondary healing response. And so there's just, so we were able to get to a place that she could take a dose without aggravating, but she didn't get the benefit from the dose without the aggravation. So for most people, that's not the case. But that's why, again, I'm glad that you're here because you have most of the worst case scenario type of situations in your healing journey.
Well, you know, I want to say this too real quick is because my younger daughter wasn't an aggravator. Right? If I'm remembering correctly.
She didn't start off as an aggravator. Yep.
Yeah, she didn't start off as an aggravator. And I will say that it was easier for me to figure out Avery than it was my younger daughter because the aggravation, like the pattern was so clear to me. As opposed to not having an aggravator, I feel like I did, like I was trying to figure out what the heck was going on with my younger one all the time. With Avery, it was like super clear and I knew what was going to happen. So aggravating was actually easier for me.
Yeah. To figure out. Well, and that jumps into something I was going to talk about in a minute. But we can just go there now. Just don't let me forget to talk about return of old symptoms before we wrap today. So one of the things that can happen is that the response can change over time. So it's not if you are an aggravator that you are always an aggravator. It could be that you aggravated to this particular remedy, but not this remedy. Or that like in this situation, you aggravated, or you aggravated to everything at the beginning, and then you don't aggravate so much over time. And the reverse can be true because that's the truth with your other daughter, your younger daughter, that she didn't aggravate in the beginning and now she's aggravating a lot more. And what that has to do with is about the strength of our vital force. So the people who have a tendency to aggravate early, they have a strong vital force, but it's just misdirected so it's strong, but shifted to the right when it should be center, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas when people have a tendency to not aggravate and then develop aggravations later, they just had a really weak vital force that just couldn't respond to the low doses, the ultra dilute preparations of homeopathic remedies with that primary response. And as they're stronger, they can be more sensitive to it and pick up on it and have a bigger response. So it can go either way. So you can be a fast responding aggravator in the beginning and then have slower responses, especially in the second half of healing that we talked about in the healing journey last episode, where things get a little bit more murky and like a little bit more challenging. So you could be a really fast responder early on and a slower responder. Like, I'm one of those people right now. I'm struggling to figure out whether I'm responding to a remedy or not. It used to be that I knew within 45 minutes if I was on the right remedy. I don't know that anymore because the nature of what I'm dealing with is just different. And I'm in like the last bit of my own healing. You know, all of my, you know, pandas related stuff with it are basically gone. What I have left is migraines, which is still related. It's related to my totality. But now I'm in that like dreaded second half of healing, right? Where it's just taken a long time and I can't figure out exactly whether I'm responding to remedy until I've got lots and lots of data points to compare like the frequency, intensity, and duration changes.
Yeah.
So the other thing that can happen with a remedy is return of old symptoms. So the other things we need to talk about are the close but wrong remedy and return of old symptoms. So the return of old symptoms is basically like, I'm going to use one of my metaphors here. We could use several of them. Okay. One of them I think we talked about before is the metaphor of like sedimentary rock. A lot of people use an onion. I don't like an onion because I just don't think it really gives a full understanding, because onions have like very nice clean layers that like you take one off and it's like there's one clean layer and it's done. And, you know, they're stinky vegetables and we're not stinky vegetables. So I always say that we are a diamond that is buried under layers and layers of sedimentary rock. And so sedimentary rock is lots of different types of rocks, like dirt and, you know, earth and whatever comes and forms. And so you can see all these different layers, right? And so we have to clear away a layer. And while we're clearing away a layer to get down to that center, that core, that diamond, we will see the layer beneath it emerge. And it's not always going to be really clear like it would be if you were removing a layer of an onion, right? So you might be sweeping away a layer of sandstone and you're still going to see some of the sandstone while the next layer of like, I don't know, limestone or lava or whatever happens to be obsidian, where it starts to peek through. And the tool that's going to be needed will vary depending on which layer you're going through and what type of force it needs, what it's really presenting. And so you can see a return of symptoms that you previously thought were healed, that were basically covered up by the continuation of the condition and not using a healing therapy and using palliative or suppressive therapy. So it could be something that you had as a child. So it could be eczema from like childhood that was suppressed with steroids and then also continuation of the condition itself. So it could be, oh, this was a behavior that we saw at the very beginning of PANS. Thankfully, it's been gone forever. Why is it coming back? Well, it's coming back because it was suppressed by the worsening of the condition or the continuation and progression of the condition. So these are old symptoms that were long gone, coming back. Generally, they don't stick around for a very long time. But it could. Okay. So there's a couple of different things that could be done when you see a return of old symptoms. Like I said, we have to make sure that if there's a blending of symptoms of different levels, that we have to look at the totality and find the homeopathic remedy that matches the best. It could be that you still, even when you start to see old symptoms coming back, it could be that the remedy that you're on will work for it. And so that you see them come up and go away on their own without any changes in a few days to a few weeks. It could be that that new symptom or returning symptom that you're seeing is something that really warrants a change in the remedy to continue the healing process. And so these could stick around for a bit longer. And generally, if you're going to see symptoms that are had been improving with homeopathic remedies, still responding to the remedy that you're on, but some old symptoms coming back and they're not budging, it's a pretty good sign that you're probably getting to the end of the effectiveness of the current remedy and that there's a new one in your future if they're not budging. So it could be that no change is needed and they come and go on their own. If they're sticking around for longer, you're probably going to need a change to address them and then fully heal and get them moving along their way. Both things are a good sign. So when they show up, it means that there is a deeper amount of healing occurring. So even though they can be frustrating or scary, they're both a good sign.
Mm-hmm. This again is where I'm glad that I had you, because I never, like, I don't know why my brain never like was able to work through return of old symptoms. But I will say, this is kind of, again, a side note, that stuff like return of old symptoms and aggravations is another spot where me treating myself homeopathically would have been really beneficial at the time, because those two things for me were, you know, post-traumatic stress triggering. I wish I would have been going through healing myself, because now I understand how beneficial homeopathy is with helping with moments like that, where an old symptom comes back and my whole body feels like we're back at the very beginning and we're just as bad as we ever were. And that was never the case. But anyways, just a side note, for parents who are also in that space where these type of responses kind of send us over the edge into panic mode.
And so then the last thing that I really want to talk about, I guess there's two more things to talk about, but the last primary thing to talk about is what would happen if you're on a close but not quite right remedy or a close but wrong remedy. And so typically what you're going to see in this is sort of a mix where you see some symptoms getting worse, some symptoms getting better, and it's not really like clear across the board on a well-recommended remedy that is the right fit. Generally, you're going to see things improve or stay the same, not typically get worse. So if you're seeing things get worse in some ways and better in others, you might be on a close but not quite right remedy. Another thing that can occur in a close but not quite remedy, quite right remedy, is that you could see a slightly new symptom or a shift in how a symptom is presenting that is really, it's actually a good sign, and it's the body helping your provider figure out the next best remedy. And so what will happen in these cases, it's almost clarifies or refines a symptom that is a lighthouse for your provider to really say, okay, so we need a remedy that's similar to this one because we saw some improvements, but this is getting worse, or this has changed, or this is a slightly new thing that we're seeing. And so that's basically the body saying, hey, this is really more details of the susceptibility over here. Pay attention to me. Let me, you know, come in this direction. And so there's a lot of remedies that are very similar. We have thousands of remedies that we could select from, and many of them cover many of the same things. And so it is about precision. And so that's really the body just helping to show us, hey, you got really, really close. So look in this general area, but there's a better fit. So both of those can happen.
Homeopathy and the body are like so wild to me. It's never going to stop being wild. It is so wild that our children's bodies like literally communicate with you guys and tell you what need. It's just like so mind blowing to me that this all occurs. I'll never stop being like overwhelmed and amazed at it.
Yeah. All right. So the last thing that I want to touch on very briefly is provings. This is something that people will, if they do enough research about homeopathy, can get concerned about, is provings, where basically symptoms that somebody didn't have prior are triggered by a homeopathic remedy. So the first thing to make sure I really reassure everybody with is the provings in chronic complex illness is very rare, because part of this is we're using ultra dilute preparations. And so, like I said before, that some of these people who don't have an aggravation early but aggravate later, they just have a really weakened vital force. And even the kids who have a stronger vital force, but it's misdirected, they tend to have enough going on that their vital force is just not capable of responding to something that isn't moving them somewhere in the direction that they need to go, or they get new symptoms that are just from the remedy. It's very, very, very rare. I think I have seen it one time in the hundreds of kids I've personally worked with. And I'm trying to think if how many times we might've seen it in our practice as a whole with the thousands of kids that we've seen. It's very, very, very rare. I can say for sure less than 10 times with the thousands of kids that we've seen. So it's not a common thing that you're going to see happen. I think that's the main thing but approving basically would be a new symptom that would be coming up as a result of taking the homeopathic remedy. I guess the main other thing to really point out is that approving even with approving, it's still only going to expose something that you're already susceptible to, because this is not a biochemical force in the body. So it's not like if you take a psychotropic medication and you have a side effect because of the biochemical force where they're trying to change your brain chemistry. It's not doing that in the body. It's nanoparticles that are present. It is tiny, tiny, tiny amounts that's nudging the body. And so we're not going to have that biochemical force and symptoms that our body is not going to produce on its own or capable of producing on its own. So the reality is that provings, when they very rarely happen, have been very beneficial because they help us to see the overall, like a greater picture of the susceptibility that a person has in their greater picture.
I think that's hard for us as parents to understand. I think a lot of times it feels like homeopathy is causing this. My younger daughter in case, like, never really had PAN stuff, but the further that we got into treatment, we're kind of dabbling into some PAN symptoms. And if I didn't have a really deep understanding of homeopathy, it would feel like homeopathy caused these symptoms to happen. But in reality, we've gotten rid of all the life-threatening, really big, really bad symptoms. And now her body's working through healing. So these are things that she was already susceptible to. They were already there. And it's not something that homeopathy is causing. That's just one thing that I hear parents say too frequently. It breaks my heart. But I also understand how it feels like homeopathy is causing it, but it's not quite the case.
Yeah. So provings are rare. And when they do happen, it is a greater insight into the susceptibility. It is, and it's not irreversible or anything like that. And the aggravations, I think that those are the two things that parents will sometimes feel knee-jerk reactions or fear, or you've said to me, especially early on, that like, you can't bring yourself to give your daughter something that is you felt was making her worse, and you felt guilt because you felt like you were causing her to be worse. And it's both true and not true, right? And so like, yes, you gave her something that you knew was going to stimulate things and like rile, like get her a little bit more agitated. And so yes, you did give her something that you knew was going to make her worse. And it was not you making her worse. It was her body responding to something so that it could really get that healing response going. Those are two hard things to wrap your brain around. And they're both aspects that are important to really showing us where we need to go to get through the healing journey so that you can get to the place that your body is resilient in the face of infections, in the face of mold, and in face of like both environmental and emotional triggers and all of the things that can really make PANS just such a prison to live in sometimes.
Yeah. You definitely had to talk me off the ledge quite a few times. But I'm so thankful that for some reason I trusted you so much. I trusted you so much. I felt like I was, again, what you just said, I was doing something to make Avery worse, but also I believed what you said, were telling me about. And so every time you would tell me, okay, this is going to happen. And then you're going to have a couple of rough days and then she's going to be okay. And so I always trusted that the outcome would be okay. And then, you know, we get to the end outcome and it's like, oh my gosh, thank gosh, I did not stop. Like, thank goodness that guilt I felt never got bigger or big enough to stop me from what we were doing. And that's hard. That's hard as parents to get through that space right there. It's really difficult.
Those are the basics for how you would respond to remedies. A reminder that most people when it's the right remedy, most people, like even PANS kids, it's like 70%. Just get better and just start to improve and then follow that healing pattern of 2 to 3 steps forward and 1 step back. We just believe in really, truly open, honest, informed consent. And so we can make the best decisions for them and their family. And so we do talk about the worst case scenarios, and most kids don't have the worst case scenario. Most kids have the best case scenario. So anything else that we need to touch on this topic of responses to remedies and the fact that it can change over time. Like then you can go from being a slow responder to a fast responder and vice versa. And you can do aggravator to non-aggravator and all the things.
I feel like this is a like an area where us as parents really struggle. And I want to encourage anyone that is in this space and they are struggling. If because I felt like as we were going through and Avery was healing, I felt so frequently like she wasn't, like the response wasn't right because not enough was getting better, or like I was measuring it with how much improvement she had and how long it lasted. Like, I wish that I would have been able to, or would have known to come to you and be like, okay, like, are we responding, just level setting? But now that I'm saying this out loud, that's kind of what we were doing in every single follow-up. I think maybe just saying this, it felt like Avery wasn't responding well for a really long time. And again, I don't know why we kept going, but we did just keep going. So I think it's normal for us as parents to feel like, oh my gosh, this response isn't right. Or this is like, we're not having enough improvement, or, you know, things, homeopathy is not working because we keep going backwards. I think as parents, we spend a lot of time in this space. And I wish that I would have had a better understanding of the fact that Avery was responding, regardless of what that response looked like, was a positive thing. As long as she was responding and I was able to give you information, we were able to keep her slowly moving forward. So even the not pretty, like, yay, this is amazing responses, all of those were so good and we were still moving forward through all of it. It's just a stressful spot for parents. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it definitely does. And I think that, you know, talking about like level setting at each visit is another really important thing to recognize, that when we're figuring out how they're responding, again, we're looking at the changes in frequency, intensity, and duration. And we are setting a new baseline for comparison at every single visit. So we don't want to compare how, like, especially if you've taken one of those big steps back because of something that came up, like whether you had a dental issue or whatever, a significant trauma, a brain injury, a break in the bone, something like that, that could be a reason for a bigger step back than one step back. You don't want to compare and say it has to be back to where they were at their absolute best, to say it's not working. If they are better than they were at the last visit, they're still they're responding and moving forward, even if it's not at their best yet. And what happens if we don't like set that new baseline at every visit is that we can leave things that will get us to a really good point, that it's just the body's taking a little bit longer because it's just dealt with something that's a little bit harder to bounce back from. Yeah. Or even, you know, we might not even know, like we've had times before where like healing feels like it's stalled out and there's like creep crawling improvements, but there was really deeper things happening for your kiddos that like we figured out months later that were like a big thing came about that showed the amount of healing that was happening that maybe just wasn't quite as apparent on the surface. Yeah. All right. So we're going to wrap today with our conversation on responses to remedies. Hopefully we got everything covered. If there's anything that we left unclear or anything like that, you can always reach out to us. All of our contact information in the show notes. I believe it's podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com is our email, and you can find us on Instagram or on the Facebook group, all of which always have links in the show notes. So check them there. And on our next episode, we're going to talk to you about a concept that's important in homeopathy, which is obstacles to healing. We've touched on it in a lot of other episodes previously where we talked about various different things to take into consideration, but we want to just talk about it as a concept itself, as overall, before we dive into a lot more of like really, really specific conversations so that we really have a strong foundation for that. So we hope you'll join us for our next episode. Take care, everybody.
We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We try to get a new episode out every week. You can make sure you don't miss any by following us on Spotify or subscribing to our channel on YouTube. If you want to connect with us more, join our Facebook group, Homeopathy for Pans and Pandas, where we have exclusive weekly videos and answer your questions about, you guessed it, homeopathy for Pans and Pandas throughout the week. If you are already a member, give us a shout out and let us know what you thought about this episode. If you aren't on Facebook and would like to reach us, you can email us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com. Until next time, take care and remember, this won't be forever.